Welcome to the Untangle and Thrive podcast, where we talk about real problems, real clients, and real solutions. Now here is your host, Angela McKinney.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Untangle and Thrive podcast. I'm Angela McKinney, and it's so good to be here on this beautiful, beautiful, we're having gorgeous weather here in New York City, Monday morning. So thought I would talk today about your relationship to COVID-19. I know this is a hot fire stick right now. And my job is not to get into a right-wrong argument, and I encourage anyone who's so righteous in their certainty about everything to sort of peek behind where they felt wronged in their life and what are they recreating in their relationship with COVID-19. We have such bifurcation. We have such extreme emotional responses. And we can either get in the war of trauma and drama, or we can locate sort of some neutral reality that helps us become a little more adaptable, a little more flexible, a little more available to put our energies in productive ways. So many of us, or at least so many that I hear, just so entrenched in their position, I just would invite them to go, what are you doing to better the situation? Waking people up to your point of view is not, and you talk about authoritarian overreaches, that is an authoritarian overreach, right? So when you have chaos in an organizing system, and this is relational, people, this isn't, you know, it manifests in giving unconscious power away to governments or to people in your community or to your family members or to whoever. When you're in an authoritarian victim recreation, there's always an internal overreach. And the internal overreach is always one of certainty, and I know something you don't, and you're bad, you're wrong, you're an idiot for not getting this, and I'm going to victimize you. I'm not even going to be available to listen to you, and I'm just going to. And so what happens, though, is that authoritarian overreach also feels so victimized. Okay, they feel victimized that they're not being heard, or that people aren't following their lead or their order or their extremity, right? So then they feel like they're in the wars on the other side, and they feel like the real victims. Okay, so it's completely chaotic disorganization. And I always say, I get these systems all the time with addicts, family systems where there's always an overreach, where someone's not taking responsibility, not dealing with reality, and re-victimizing everyone in the system. We don't get well, people, in that response system. It's argumentative, it's bifurcating, and it certainly isn't integrated or whole or adaptable or flexible. It's not awakened, even though the one side feels so awakened, right? They feel like they have it all and no one else does. So that's a very complex relationship the body is having with COVID-19. And it creates a lot of disorganization for the very thing that the rabid COVID non-vaccinators, you know, who feel like Bill Gates is microchipping them and wanting to take over the world, their body is so in a threat response that they aren't even looking at it because they're so righteous in the immune system or the health reasons, and that the disease is really not anything to worry about. But they are so in a threat response with their fear that the world order is taking over and Bill Gates wants to vaccinate everyone. So it's disorganization. That is not adaptable or flexible. It's actually creating more suffering, more disorganization. And think about all the wasted time. I mean, really, how productive. If you want to help people get stronger immune systems or lose weight or build their breath ability, then offer creative solutions to help people, right? Put all the energy into not having to prove a case, but actually creating solutions to strengthen people. Now there's the other extreme, right? Where people are so terrified of, and I coach, I can't even tell you how many people I work with who are so over entrenched in their fear response to actually getting the virus and dying, right? That the isolation has become a re-traumatization of their ability to mobilize. And now that isn't healthy either, right? Their body's having an extreme response to panic and to anxiety and to fear. And often people, it's when we're needing to mobilize out of that where the chaos really starts to overwhelm our system. So a lot of states that are emerging right now, and say, for example, the threat response of the body back in March wasn't there, but it's so entrenched now, mobilization feels threatening to the body. And so I coach a lot of people who are stuck in that immobilized state where they've almost re-traumatized with COVID and how to get safe enough to start engaging in a healthy way, moving into more mobility, moving into feeling safe enough to move, right? Because we know our systems don't synchronize in a state of immobility. So even if there's a constriction around you, it's really important that within a constriction, you find mobility. You find ways you can move and create and be productive. That is really critical to our health and well-being and to create less traumatic rebonding. But many of my clients who have had a lot of disorganization or recovery issues or addiction issues, and they just started to synchronize with life before COVID, their response is triply compounded because the rug feels so pulled out from underneath them and they had struggled to find the rug to begin with. So for them, it's a little more, it's been more triggering. What I guess I am wanting to say is unity is not about right and wrong. Unity is about digging deeper into common sort of a human system of integration, adaptability, locating, oh, there's a shift in this localized area, and how do we course correct our behavior responsibly to support the system as a whole, right? You can get into an argument with whether or not Florida, for example, who has numbers, and everyone will be like, well, those numbers, you can't, all the noise around blah, 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 has to fall away, okay? With Florida, for example, numbers are high. Hospitals are having more COVID cases. Does it mean it's going to turn into New York City? No one knows that. It's speculation. No one knows that. No one has a crystal ball. It's silly to think you can have such certainty with anything, right? Everyone knows in New York, when the spikes happen, like the Florida numbers, you know, it took a month for people to start, hundreds of people to start dying every day, up to 800 people dying every day. And, you know, and is it a shame that the whole country had to shut down and overreach because New York and New Jersey and Connecticut were in such the war of COVID? Yeah, it's a shame. Do we need to learn from it and get more adaptable in our response to hotspots? Yes. I think everyone can agree to that. So then why? Because think about the system. Think about the healthcare workers. Think about the resources within the hospital. They're in a better situation than they were, but it doesn't mean they can handle 1,000 deaths a day. Okay? So does it mean that Florida's going to have 1,000 deaths a day? No. Can anyone say that? No. But it's our responsibility to course correct and support the system as a whole so that it can function to its optimal place. Right? We can only do that if we get out of the noise of our threat responses and our righteousness is just a mask for another threat response. That's all it is, people. Just because you don't feel safe, there's somewhere you don't feel safe. And just because you're not maybe localizing that or connecting to it, there's some threat response in your body. And unless you're looking at that and learning from that and going, oh, my body really has gone a little distorted here. Like, I'm really nervous that the CDC is going to start coming to my door and taking away my children. okay, I'm not scared I'm going to die, but I'm scared the CDC is going to come and take away my kids if they have coronavirus. Do you see how distorted things become? So I can be really righteous and have a platform to talk about how crazy it is that everyone's over-grabbing fear and anxiety, but I'm not being honest or accurate when I'm not locating my unconscious or my threat response and going, really? Is that, let's challenge that. Like with data, with evidence, with all the things that you do with the COVID virus, right? Challenge it, dismantle it. I think that what I'm seeing, because I look at systems and my job really is to help people locate their unconscious relationship to anything that's creating a threat response. I mean, that could be paying credit card debts, right? That could be stopping to, you know, drinking beer. That could be asking for a divorce. It all just depends on your relational dance your body is having to anything. And we all have a very particular relationship to COVID-19. We do. And for many of us, it's very unconscious. And it's helpful to locate it and go, what is my body? How safe does my body feel? And am I in reality? Right? Because there's always, these are the responses that you get with trauma or people who are responding in disorganized ways. They're either in denial, so they just disconnect and they go to la-la land and they just don't even look at anything. Okay, they formulate that whatever, they have an idea or belief, and then they just don't even look at reality. There's denial. And denial is great when you think about it, right? Because then it doesn't ask anything of you. Nothing. You just cosign, just keep cosigning a system, even if it's just a horrible, destructive system. You have an overgrab of certainty and righteousness, where you become the punitive authoritarian and your job is to wake everyone up, okay? And your job is to fight the people who are trying to control you. And you can see how crazy and disorganized that system gets. So that one is incredibly threatened in the body. And it's recreating authoritarian victimization, recreating authoritarian, and all it does is stay stuck. It's not productive. No one's learning there. No one's awakened there. Everyone's arguing, case building, reacting, responding in extreme ways. And we see so much of that in our country. We see it with the people who don't want to wear masks and who politicize this. And it feels like a violation of our rights and freedom. We feel, you know, it's the people who are thinking Bill Gates wants to microchip everyone and take over the world. It's so extreme. It's got so much noise to it. The threat response is so attacked. Okay, so that's where chaos is really brewed in that system. Then you have people who are sort of ambivalent. They don't have a strong opinion or another. They don't engage. They sort of hide out and isolate and shut down. And then they can get actually re-traumatized in the re-emerging, coming back into mobilization. They can really struggle because why people go to ambivalence and why people go to isolation is because the connection, it feels chaotic, it feels scary. So that's their hidden threat response, is getting safe enough for the chaotic feelings to re-emerge and synchronize with life. So, you know, I always see crisis as huge opportunities for people to wake up on a deeper level and bring themselves more meaningfully into the conversation and into creative solutions and into creating products or services or helping your community or doing something with the information that's helping people. It's not trying to fix them. It's not trying to get them to see it your way. It's not attacking people. It's none of that. That is not adaptable. That is not creative. That is not flexible. Okay. And so I always see most people who come to me are somehow entrenched in some system that is really overwhelming to their body and they're really miserable or lonely or frustrated, or their relational life is sort of breaking apart, or their business life is, there's no traction, there's no mobility, there's no dynamic creation, right? So people are coming to me in sort of the breakdown of some of these systems. So they're more available to start to look at themselves and work with their body and work to reorganize some of the thinking. But the body really sources this, people. It's influencing the head. But if our bodies feel threat from something, from some systematic piece of the equation, we've got to look at it, right? We've got to look at it. So what I do in my work and how I see COVID right now, having been in a city that was really hit hard and knowing so many people who did die from it and so many families who've been affected by it, I have a very, you know, different relationship to COVID than, say, someone in the middle of Kentucky or Tennessee, right? And I have seen my neighbors who are doctors, I've seen what people have had to do to support a healthcare system and take care of patients and the cost and the toll and the fear of all of it, right? And we know a lot more now. I think we're more prepared on many levels. But when a state, for example, is having a hotspot, we're not having a hotspot. You know, we're sort of in the low numbers right now. We went through war. We're on the other side. We're reemerging and engaging. It feels really good. A lot of people, though, are really having a hard time reengaging. So that's really their work, is getting safe to feel like they can move again in New, you know, and not be reckless and abandoning. Be responsible until we know more, right? Until we know more. So, when there's a hotspot such as Florida, and there's a lot of new evidence and data where a lot of the people who are testing positive, right, they're looking at percentage rates, not just numbers, and obviously the percentage rate has really spiked. But a lot of them aren't sick, and a lot of them no symptoms, and a lot of them are just going to be fine, and that's great, right? I think everyone's like, yay, great. And then there may be another circle out to the more vulnerable people who start really crashing that healthcare system, who need the ventilators and the ICUs, who actually really need all that support. So there is that possibility. So it's not speculative, it's just responsible. Do you hear the difference? I don't know, and I hope it doesn't happen, but I think that it's irresponsible to not hold the space or the capacity to course correct, or at least consider that is a real possibility, and how do we want to support that possibility in the most aligned way, right? When you think of, you know, I hear these, you know, non-vaccinators talking about how beautiful the immune system, and don't you want to teach your kids that? Yes, you do. You want to teach your kids how to get strong and have a healthy immune system, and you want to teach them to think of other people. And healthcare workers and people who are on the front line and people who are having to hold the possible crash of a system like Florida. And do you want those little kids to lose their mommy or their daddy because this is unnecessary? And you want to cultivate health and wellness. There's multiple levels. It's not just the body's immune system. There's a lot of levels and layers to cultivating health, wealth, wellness, and adaptability in a whole system. It's not just one area, it's all areas. So I posted something on Instagram, and I don't get political usually. I kind of try to help set an environment to get more curious with your relational dance your body's having to any reactivity. And I just got so many private messages and responses that's forcing me to talk to you guys today, because I think that I'm just so disheartened by what I see, and not in a bad way where I don't see hope, because I do see so much hope in the middle of chaos always. And I do think systems have to get torn down before they get to get rebuilt. I'm a believer of that, having been in this work for so long. Change does not come in these little incremental self-willed systems. They really, change really gets facilitated when the whole system gets dismantled and a new system emerges stronger. And we may, you know, who knows? We're seeing that in our, in the Black Lives Movement and the justice, we need to have that happen. So there's a real deep reorganization. And I do think the healthcare system needs a similar tear down, dismantling, reorganization to support better health. I mean, we are one of the sickest countries in the world. And we suffer from so many unfortunate diabetes and healthcare and cancer and addiction. It's suicide. I mean, we are sick. We are toxically sick as a country on so, so, so many levels. And we need to look at that. You know, we all have an individual responsibility with our health and where we're not taking good care of ourselves and how we do need a stronger healthcare system. And we need to become the stronger healthcare system physically, emotionally, and mentally. You know, we know so much about trauma and how trauma gets stuck in the body and creates compounding illnesses. Just do your ACE score, do your ACE study, look at the ACE study. It is staggering how much disorganization, disease, suicide, addiction comes from childhood adversity and trauma, unresolved trauma. It is just mind-blowing how this contributes to the overall disorganization of systems, trauma, unresolved trauma. So my little piece of this conversation is always, and with my clients or any group that I do, is helping people not recreate and rebond unconsciously with trauma so that your system is getting more available and discharged from stress, from anxiety, from overwhelm, so that we can start to access mobilization, healthy mobilization, to engage and to contribute to the world and to our families and to all of our relationships, right? So I think that seeing things through the spectrum of trauma, sort of what I'm doing, is an interesting paradigm to look at how everyone is responding. And how do we unwind trauma? What do we know about the neuroscience and the body to unwind trauma? And most people think it's, right? Most people are so busy trying to break, you know, fix their broken self, right? And we know that doesn't work. What we know is that integration, right, into new experiences and new sensations in your relational life, right? So think about COVID. If you have this trauma bond with COVID that is constricting you, that is creating stress, anxiety, and fear, right? You have this, and then you're just managing stress, anxiety, and fear, right? In the way you're living and what you're not doing and what you are doing, you can see that that creates a pattern of behavior and a systemed response, right? And if we can untangle, if we can locate what you are rebonding with, and often it goes, it's present and it goes back into time. Okay, it's present, goes back. Trauma bonding is always about recreating some other powerless, overwhelmed experience you had that hasn't been fully processed. So if you use COVID-19 as a way to access your body's intelligence to unwind that threat response and open yourself to a new experience, that is how you unwind a trauma bond. It has to get dissolved through deep reorganizing of an internal experience of engagement so that you're engaging with your body and the world in ways that are producing new emotions, new sensations, and ultimately will shift your thinking. So it's a bottom-up approach. It's not a stop, you know, fixture, you know, it's not jamming ideology down to already disorganized system. And that's the problem with the authoritarian victimization, is they're coming at it from a top-down approach and everyone's bodies are being left out of the reorganization. So look, you know, so what do I have my clients do? I have them really locate in a very creative, fun way, because what we know about trauma too is that it steals us from present connectedness, puts us into one of these, right, fragmented sort of sense of connectedness, because it's usually adrenaline driven or angry driven, or it's an emotionally driven, but that's not present connectedness. And imagination. Traumatized people really lack resourceful creativity and imagination to create and co-create new experiences. We have to partner with our bodies in a way that co-creates and creates new experiences. We got to get out of the noise of right, wrong, blah, 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 blah. All those threat responses. We've got to get neutralized inside of our body to open up to new connections and possibilities. That is how we unwind a trauma bond, right? That is how we move out of ourselves and get into an alignment with a deeper part of our humanity. There is where we synchronize people, aliveness and joy and harmony, and things automatically start to shift into place when we're in that state with our body. We start partnering everywhere differently and with things differently and with crises differently. We're way more available and creative to solve problems. This is where we get well. This is where we get well. So that's my rant. I was holding it in all weekend. I just felt like there's room here for multiple layered conversations. I hope I created a space that was provocative, at least informative, something you could take away and start to examine. What is your body, not your brain, your body's relationship to COVID? And if it's really in a threat response, well, there's so many in a threat response. How does your threat response really manifest, right? Because it manifests different for everyone. And how can you start to get, this is just how can you discharge some of that threat response, right? Get more present with your mobilization. What can you mobilize? Not what can I not mobilize? You know, not the victim. But what can you mobilize into? What can you produce? What can you create? What can you do right now in your business, in your family life, in your life to thrive no matter what's happening outside of you, right? No matter what's going on right now in our country, what is that for you? And if you can do that, if you can access vision, clarity, connectedness that is meaningful to engage you in more mobilization, that puts you into your purposeful belonging, then you are going to unwind and integrate into yourself better and discharge the trauma of that constriction. Okay, people, because, one more thing. Think about constriction and trauma bonds. Just think of it as like energy, right? There's so much energy that gets used up when we're in an unconscious trauma bond. It's just exhausting because we're managing it. We have an agenda around it. If we converted all of that energy into co-creating and building, right? Whether that's our business or whatever, community building, look at all the work we could do. Look at all the things we could be providing for people and the services we could provide. So our energy is really, really vital where we're directing it. And most of us don't have the skills to know that we think maybe we're directing it well, but most of us don't have the skills to quite understand how to really get out of the reactivity and into creativity. And so that's what my book is about. That's what my work is about. And my book, hopefully, guys, will be coming out in the next couple months. I will keep you posted on that. Thank you all for your responses of my little reading that I did. I really appreciate it. And thanks for being here with me. Send me any questions, any ideas. I was thinking of bringing an incredible artist to this podcast. I'd love to start bringing in people to engage some of this conversation around creativity, because that is at the essence, that is what we are all needing more access to, is creativity. All right, have a beautiful day. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, check out our life skills programs. We take these creative life skills and integrate them into a practice. Check out the details at www.untangleandthrive.com/program.